Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 989 FM ESPN. Hopefully you're having a pleasant Thursday, June 6th so far. Our worlds have certainly been rocked. The sports world, Woj bomb this morning, changed everything. Kind of did with that we thought had been or had been led to believe about the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And maybe if Dan Hurley is indeed named the next head coach of the Lakers, everything we thought about the top of college basketball has changed as well, with Hurley having won the last two, we know, at UConn. So huge news to discuss today, and news that feels like it's upstage game one of the NBA Finals. That game is tonight, yes. And imagine the team that upstages them, well, to some degree today, the Lakers, are the team that they're tied with in terms of championships, 17-17 NBA championships there. Boston obviously going for an 18th, and with game one means the return of Fade Brad Carson. Can't wait for that. Also, a Germantown athlete is headed to the Olympics this summer in Paris. That's cool. And, John, you'll be satisfied to know that I've been reading up on old XA1 and its arrival here in Memphis. And so I feel a little bit more informed today than we were yesterday. As we got the breaking news that Elon has committed to Memphis.
Yes, and we also know, like, exactly, again, according to MLGW, what that's going to require in terms of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you feel a little better about the, you know, the grid. I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of it today here on the show.
Lots of questions still.
Look, I want to thank Dan Hurley for taking the discourse away from the WNBA. I don't think I could have done another day about it, just consecutively. We had to sort of break up the streak, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could only take so many missed layups. So it was good to wake up to a new piece of the news cycle. And this is certainly one of the biggest stories of any time, at any time, right, in the sports calendar. I mean, this is the premier job in the NBA, just in terms of history. And it is, you know, the king of college basketball at the moment in Dan Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially giving that up to enter into what would be, you know, seemingly a volatile situation. Could it be great? Sure. But it could also be really, really bad, as we have seen. So we'll break down everything that goes into this decision.
Yes.
I mean, the Shams versus Woj piece of it.
Oh, there's that too, yeah.
I mean, it is all there in this particular story. So we'll
get into
that.
Was Redick right? He does have a axe to grind with Shams. Was he telling us, basically?
That's a thing.
We said yesterday, well, only if he's wrong.
Right. We took that to mean that he was mad that he was upstaging his announcement.
Exactly.
Perhaps he was really upset that he was...
Unless he's wrong. Unless Shams is wrong.
Something that wasn't actually true. And then that case maybe makes JJ look bad, like he's leaking things that aren't necessarily factual, you know, which may miff the Lakers. I don't know. I mean, I don't...
You know, I went back and read Shams' report on that. JJ met with him once a few weeks back.
Yes.
Orego met twice.
Yes. As recently as last.
Right. And again, at the time, we still had the JJ is the leader.
And there was no mention of Hurley.
None.
No, like from anybody, honestly, zero. Until today. And then, like, the more you read it, again, I'm not in La La Land, so I don't know, you know, how they operate over there. But apparently Pelinka likes to do it in silence. He likes to, you know, he doesn't like to have his searches get very public and things like that. So that would jibe, you know, and they would also jibe with why maybe JJ was mad, because he knows how Pelinka wants to keep things. And then if Pelinka gets this, you hear it all the time, right? Yep. Like, these guys get miffed if something leaks. And maybe it removes you from consideration. I don't know. We'll touch on all that today here on the show. 11:25, Drew Hill. Drewski is going to join us. And we'll talk to him about all of this and more. And then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to join us. He's back. He's back on the air. So we'll talk to him about all this. And honestly, I will say this. There is potentially some fallout for Memphis as a result of all of this. Maybe not directly. Maybe not at all. But there is the potential for Memphis to be involved if Dan Hurley wound up leaving for L.A.
You said you used the word fallout.
Yeah, like, you know, just some...
Is there not potential to gain as well?
That's fallout was probably the wrong word.
Okay.
But like,
oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Like,
anyway,
some ripple effects, right,
yes,
so to speak.
Absolutely.
So we'll get into that here in just a moment. But, yes, the news of the day, Dan Hurley, is in talks. Those talks are going to escalate with the Los Angeles Lakers. That first reported early this morning. You're rolling over out of bed.
Yeah, I did. That text you sent me, I'm still sleeping, bro. I'm sorry. I'm still drinking.
No, that's okay. Anytime I can break
I had bought a new Cadillac for some reason. And
oh, gotcha. Yeah,
was deep in sleep.
Must have had a good quarter.
I've never had a Cadillac.
Yeah, buddy had a... Well, I mean,
no, I don't know.
I was gone.
It was actually used and it had a dent in it, which had changed the tenor of the dream.
Sure,
I was
sure.
Deep
it was
in
actually
it.
A bad dream.
John sent me the text at 6, the Woj bomb.
Yeah. Anytime I can break news to Jason, it's definitely an accomplishment. It feels like I'm getting a scoop of my own. Because he's very hard to get anything by. So that was definitely an achievement this morning. But Dan Hurley in talks with L.A. According to John Fanta, my colleague over at Build a 68, he met with his team this morning and let them know that he is in negotiations. Not that he is leaving, but that he is in talks. They have a practice scheduled for noon, and that is going to be business as usual. But he did want to inform his team that he was definitely involved in the search and, you know, I guess in the interest of transparency. So I will say my first instinct was, honestly, for both, why? For both, why would this make sense? You know, because for the Lakers, you could really have your pick. And although Dan Hurley has done an undeniably amazing job at UConn and at the college level, mm-hmm. It's a different game. It's a different sport, and it's a different management style, right, when it comes to adult men versus, you know, college-aged men. And then for Dan, you know, my thought initially was, why relinquish your perch as the undisputed king of college basketball? He was at UFC 302 a couple of weeks ago.
Saw that.
And he's doing the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course, like he's got a chance. I mean, Caravan is back. You know, Solomon
Balls.
Yeah,
they're going to be top 10.
You know, I mean, they're going to be right there along with some other guys. So, you know, why relinquish those things if you're Dan Hurley and you're making $5 to $6 million? Again, I don't know what L.A. is talking about paying them, doubling, tripling. You know, if they triple, this isn't an argument. You know what I mean? If they even double, it's not an argument just from a purely financial standpoint. But I don't know. Where were you on it when you saw the news?
I'm on a different side, because I would say that for the Lakers, I actually thought that maybe this was possibly a good thing and a sign that you were planning for post-LeBron as opposed to just trying to satisfy him. You see what I'm saying? In those
yep.
last 2 years, whatever you're going to have him, we know he's got the option, the 1 year, whatever else, we'll see what happens with that. But if it's 2 years, 1-1, whatever it is, I think this would actually be a sign. And not going into whether Dan Hurley can do the job, but a sign that the Lakers are thinking long term, right? Because Dan Hurley's not coming in there without some control, without saying, this can't be a 2-year deal for me like it was for Darvin Ham. You get it? You don't need to leave, to your point. Don't need to leave the king spot to go to a spot where I'm basically going to be, you know, at the mercy of LeBron James and whether or not we're making a run to the finals. And so and you can call your shots like that. So perhaps this is, and I would say it's smart of the Lakers planning for the future. You're going to let Dan Hurley make, you know, have a big decision in terms of your picks, everything else. You're making a future with Dan Hurley that is post-LeBron. In my eyes, that's smart, because I've been saying for a while now they need to be planning for after that.
Yep.
You're digging yourself deeper into a hole trying to appease him and this need to win. You know, obviously he's trying to go out and win more titles. And so from that standpoint, and then from the Hurley standpoint, you know, because whether it's and John, you know, I've talked to you about this before, whether it's Saban, whether it's Harbaugh, a king can go back. Right, or a guy, and Harbaugh wasn't that. Having been at Stanford, goes to NFL, comes back. He wasn't a king. Saban though was that. Had won one in LSU. He goes back. Hurley could go back, and he can pick his situation again, and maybe one where he's got a better NIL setup because of what's going to happen. Perhaps
right
with the Power Four, the break off, the $20 million that those schools are going to be able to right.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's a situation that offers perhaps a clearer path. Not that Hurley doesn't have what he needs right now, but we know with their media rights deal, UConn's, they're getting like $5 million. Sure, I'm sure he's got some NIL, probably what he needs in the coffers right now because he's coming off two championships. But the way forward and for him to stay on top is murky because college athletics is murky right now. You know, it's basically a pro league that's telling you it ain't one. And the rules are messed up. These coaches have no control anymore because the players can transfer immediately and they can come in your office and say, give me some more NIL.
I mean, that's all.
So you ain't controlling it. And it's to Hurley's credit, he's won two titles through this.
Yep.
That's shown a consistency that is hard to keep in college basketball. And so you asked me what I think. I think in a way it makes sense for both sides because Hurley can go get this payday now. With, I'm sure, the security, we're going to give you some time. This ain't going to be a Darvin Ham situation. This isn't just about LeBron. And if it fails, he can go back to college and pick his situation.
Yeah, listen, I think that is a great case, and it's all completely fair. And I think Dan Hurley is a sicko in that he may not even consider the idea of failure in L.A.
Oh, I'm with
right?
you.
I mean, he may not even think, like, he's like, hey, I'll go there, I'll change the culture, just like I did at UConn.
Where I go back to you and the point you made is his style.
Yep.
Way he gets on you.
Yep.
Right?
Works with 22-year-olds.
Exactly. You get the most out of them.
Yeah.
You can't do that with NBA players.
No question.
So your style.
Yeah, I mean,
and how effective you can be. Something he's been effective with, obviously.
Right.
In your face. You've written about it. I mean, this guy, to get on you, he could probably curse you up and down. He's a maniac. You can't be a maniac in the NBA and not get eyes rolled at you by those grown men.
Exactly.
Might get shoulder shrugged, everything else.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the best NBA coaches, they're the ones that basically they don't ever have any kind of histrionics.
It's a calm, bro.
Like Spoelstra's like just he doesn't even really stand up sometimes. Like he just sits there and he's like, you're a grown man, you know.
Yeah.
Pop, same thing. You know what the game plan is. I'm not going to sit here and get on your ass.
So I think part of his style, what makes him so good in college, you wonder if that translates.
And there's no question.
To grown men. That's where I'm with you
now,
whether it could be a success.
I think the way that the Lakers are coming at it is just what you started the entire discussion on, which is we're thinking past LeBron.
It's past time for Jimmy Buss to start doing that.
Yeah. And so, hey, what about Austin Reeves? What about our young guys? What about our future? You know, we're going to be young. We're going to be a rebuild. Right, so what better coach to come in and rebuild it than one that has expectations and demands and a threshold and a pedigree and all those things? I think it makes sense from that perspective.
1,000%.
You know, I just think you're giving up something that is, for the average college coach, I would say there would be no doubt about it, right? But Dan has such a unique setup there at UConn where he can just run it and dominate it.
It's true.
You know.
Oh, he's a king.
But. That is all the other sort of part of that.
But it's going to get harder to stay the king.
Well, it is
in this college athletic world.
If he does flame out
that crazy,
you know, with the Lakers, it's not like he's going to have to go rebuild his career at UAB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
There's going to be a spot for him at a premium job.
Same went back to Alabama.
Yes.
I mean, he could end up in the SEC.
Yes,
you know, with all the money he needs.
He could. And so, sure. I mean, the thing about Twitter is that you just have your initial thoughts, right? And then you think about it and you hear from people and, you know, I'm never above sort of changing my opinion. I still think like there's a ton of risk involved with it. And I don't think
1,000%.
I don't think you take it because it's the Lakers, right? Like people are tweeting me and they're saying it's the Lakers. Of course you take it. So tell me why it was Darvin Ham the last two years.
Well, again, it has to be the Lakers, a situation where I'm tied to you. I'm not tied to LeBron. Darvin Ham's tied to LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. But everybody.
And he's not leaving the throne.
Correct.
For something that isn't that. For not. for something that isn't secure.
Yes.
In terms of the next few years.
Yes.
He's got to be able to explain to his wife.
No doubt.
I mean, that's the.
But I mean, he's getting $18 million. I mean, that's an easy discussion.
That's the part. This ain't gonna be 2 years.
Exactly.
And you know,
I mean, it's a 5-year contract.
1,000%.
Right?
This is not gonna be a Darvin Ham or a Steve Nash.
Yeah.
They're gonna be committed to him. Obviously, here's the deal.
At least from a financial standpoint.
John, they have to rebuild it the right way.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers are about having more championships than the Celtics. Okay. And if you look over at the situation, the Celtics are right on the brink. Possibly, and you can argue that they should have already had some, but they're right on the brink, not just of winning one, but maybe here a few, putting themselves ahead of you. And you look at how the situations are set up, the way that Boston has done it, and they've hit their head. They got their bruises and scars from having Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals 6-5 times the last few years. You're hitting your head. Finals 2 of the last 3 years, but they've been built. You brought those guys in. You built it up from the ground. You tried Kyrie. Didn't work. You finally found the right mix. But my point is that was built with a strong foundation of Brown and Jason Tatum that you're giving all your money to. Look at the Lakers. They're trying to piece it together year by year to hang on. Jeannie Buss got to understand this is not going to work for us on a year-to-year basis. And I think coming off a year like this year, you truly understand it now. And so if you're going to be, you know, have a foundation like the Celtics do, you got to reset. You have to reset. And maybe you're doing that with, you know, with Anthony Davis as the centerpiece and Reeves and those guys. Maybe you're doing that going forward as opposed to, yeah, we're just going to try to piece together around LeBron. And you have to, and that has to be the way Hurley is looking at it.
No doubt. And so, listen, it's ambition from the Lakers, no question. More vision than they've probably shown for that in a long, long time. And not just saying, hey, let me just get a yes man for LeBron that'll just, you know, cater to every whim. You know, they are thinking a little bigger now, finally. And Dan, you know, listen, he once upon a time, you know, he was told that, you know, UConn was a dead-end job. Nobody was ever going to be able to get that back to the Calhoun levels, that he should have never taken it. And, you know, he said famously on that podium one day, you better get us now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're coming, you know? And so, again, it's different. But I if I was also trying to make the case, college game has become more professional, you know?
1,000%.
And so maybe there is an element of, with that ability to just walk into the office and leave at any point, you know, he sort of has gotten a little bit more exposure to, you know, professional-esque. It's not the same. I know it's not LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but, you know, clearly he has some ability to foster relationships.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, nobody transfers out of UConn, right? They transfer in. He gets the guys. So, you know, he's put guys in the pros. He's got 2 top 10 picks this year in Stephon Castle and Donovan Clingan. You know, I mean, Caravan probably would have been a lotto guy if he stayed in. So he brings, undeniably, a pedigree, you know, if he takes it.
What's Billy Donovan done?
Right.
And what do we think of him as a college coach?
Yeah, he was a great college coach.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So back to the point, there's no promise.
It's hard.
That he gets there and builds this into something.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because he's a damn good college
basketball coach. But the argument was really the same for him, too, right? It was like if you ever didn't make it as the Chicago Bulls coach, you'd come right back to the college. And he could do it today if he wanted to.
But that's you control everything in your college post. Palenka.
Yep.
And your front office will determine a lot of it. It's the same thing for Donovan because of your roster. All right, if you don't have total control, you're not making the draft picks, everything else, and Palenka ain't back. You know, he ain't backing out of this. And so that's the difference there is that you are still under it, – it's not your show in the same way – in the way that it is at the college level.
Yep.
And you'd be leaving that security.
Yep.
Right? Because you're sort of at the whims of your front office in terms of who they can get. Look at Pop.
Yeah.
You know, you can't win unless you got a roster.
That's 100%. Now – if indeed Hurley leaves, it will leave an opening. I assume at this stage they would just promote one of the assistants for the year and just kind of see how that goes. But it would also open up a 30-day window for the current players on the roster to transfer. Now, I don't know what their appetite would be if they promote an assistant, right? I mean, you would think that that would be the entire idea. Let's promote somebody that's already been here that can probably maintain and keep
some
this
of it.
Thing integrity. Yeah, the integrity. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you keep everybody, but you probably keep a lot.
People have said go get Ed Cooley, and that's the way to keep people there.
Man, stop. Who said that? Doster?
It might have been.
That's a meme. He says that about every opening.
No, then it wasn't Dawson.
Okay, because like that's his shtick. He's like,
no, I think this person was being serious. I don't know. I thought it was one of you field of 68 guys.
Bro,
maybe somebody else.
Ed Cooley won 8 games last year at Georgetown, bro. What are we doing? All right.
Who's the hot name assistant that keeps everybody there?
One of them. Kamani Young, you know, Tom Moore. I mean, they've been there for a long time, you know. I mean, you're just talking about a patch. It's not a long-term, you know, a long-term fix. But, you know, if 2 or 3 guys leave, that adds at least 1 or 2 more targets for Memphis and honestly everybody else.
Sure.
But the pool that Memphis is swimming in right now is so shallow. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going after the same players. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. Coleman Hawkins, Arthur Kaluma, Jameer Watkins, that's really it. I mean, you have some mid guys, you know, some mid-tier guys, but not really impact players, I would say, at this point in the game. So if UConn were to, you know, have that 30-day window open where those guys could transfer, you could see potentially, again, I don't know who it would be.
There's a couple more options.
Exactly, which at this stage in the game is really all you can hope for. You know, if you're the University of Memphis and you're playing Hardaway. Because here's what ends up happening. All the guys you're recruiting have all the leverage, right?
Penny said this on that podcast he was on. He said this is when it gets really frustrating because the number goes way up.
Way up.
Because there's, as you said, the pool is so shallow right now.
And they know that. Everybody knows that.
In it. Yeah.
Everybody knows
that. You got all these schools in it trying to finish out their rosters.
Yeah, and schools get desperate, and then you're up against Power 5 teams that maybe have a little bit more NIL to throw around.
Right.
With Kaluma, I heard SMU is the big competition, and they have a big bag, apparently. I don't know if they use all of it for football or how much of basketball.
Yeah, they must have saved some from all the ACC money they had to set aside.
But I think that's the thing, right? Like if Memphis,
I mean, they got money to burn down there and at SMU. They
100%,
always have.
And that's why they got into the ACC, because they knew they had the wherewithal.
They
so
paid their way.
If Memphis are, you know, if SMU's willing to throw out a number of, I don't know, like 1.5, I mean, Memphis can't, you know, realistically, they can't compete with that. Plus, they're in the ACC. I mean, it's just a no-brainer at that point. You get to go up against North Carolina and Duke and all those teams. So, it's a hard time right now. And you would love to have a little bit more just leverage yourself.
Sure.
Where you can say, listen, we're going to offer you this. If you don't take it, we'll go get somebody else who will. X, Y, and Z, UConn, available, whatever. So that's definitely something I think that you're monitoring if you're Memphis or any school like Memphis that, you know, just needs a prayer right now from a player standpoint. I will say this on Memphis. If they don't get Kaluma, we went back and forth a little bit about this. Was it today? If it ends up having to be Jordan at the 4 – because they don't get Kaluma, and it's, let's say it's PJ, Tyrese, Colby, Nick, and Dane
Nicholas
as your starting
Jordan.
Five.
Yes,
that's not a bad five. It's not a bad. I mean, it's pretty good. It's not great. It's not maybe as good as we hoped it would be.
Well, how does it match up with UAB? They're the only other team in the league that's got anything.
Right.
Your boy Gaines, and then whatever my big guy's
Luxembourg.
Name, Luxembourg.
I think it matches up fine.
Well,
I talked to 2 people.
The point would be you should still win the AAC.
Roster
without bringing in Kaluma with no David Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Jordan has proven that he's capable as a starting
Nick Jordan, as I told you in that back and forth text, was actually doing it right before Tomlin got up here, putting up some pretty – I want to say there was one big double-double.
No doubt.
Like a 23-12 or something like
– Yes.
He was getting comfortable.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be
– Now, your bench is rough. I mean
– Oh, it's much thinner.
But I want to pass along this tweet. That I sent you yesterday.
But then you could put Tyreek behind Jordan at the 4.
Which right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Correct.
And Moses is behind Dane.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. All right, so here's the tweet. This is from John Findler. Of the top 50% of KenPom's bench minutes rankings, only 3 were 5 seeds or higher in the NCAA tournament. 17 of the top 20 seeds had below average bench minute rates. So basically what that means is the best teams in America last season didn't play big bench minutes.
Short rotations.
They had their 5 best guys, maybe their 6 best guys, and they rolled with those dudes.
Well, that's been a fight here for a long time.
It has been a fight here. And now, Penny may not have a choice. I mean, just based on the construction of the roster, he may not have a choice at all.
That's a good call.
I don't know. Who would be the backup guard? Jared Harris right now?
Akoji.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Akoji?
Yeah, from George Mason.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, okay. That's not bad.
And you got him for some years.
Correct.
You know, and so it's good that you get him out there this year and show him we're going to be playing you in the next couple and get him developed.
Yeah, that's actually seriously not a – it's not a bad
– So you're making the argument now that fewer options might be better.
Correct. Oh, 100%. I would be making – I mean, and the data backs that up. I mean, again, it's 1 year.
I think it's an argument we've long, you know, believed that the shorter the rotation, the better for Penny.
Yeah, and so, again, whether – I mean, I think, honestly, if you it's great if you get Kaluma, but I think it's fine if you wind up not, because you have the option of Jordan at the
four. But that goes against Penny's nature.
It does.
And you have a – whatever was earmarked for David Jones.
Correct.
You have it sitting right beside you, baby.
Yeah, you would hate to not use that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would think you're itching a little bit.
What are you going to do, though?
Because Penny loves the talent, bro. So it would go against his nature.
Right. I agree. What Memphis's class, where are they ranked?
But as you said, maybe he'll miss. Maybe SMU, you know, decides that for you by offering 1.5. And so, and the UConn guys, everybody else jumps on them, and the numbers are high, and you can't get in that either. So maybe it won't be his choice.
Yeah, Baraka Okoji would be the...
Yeah, he's...
And Jared Harris. You really need one more. It's really thin, because if you have a Caleb Bill
situation. Well, we got Daniel, buddy.
Daniel? Oh, that's right. My bad. That's right. From Portugal. I'm still getting back into the swing of things.
Yes. Not from Portugal, as Brad correctly pointed out. Grew up in Texas.
Okay, but played for the Portuguese.
Yes, mom is Portuguese and went over there for the year.
Okay, so that would be your rotation. That's fine. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen him play, so.
You.
I thought he was living in Portugal.
I have no confidence whatsoever in him, but I'm saying there's you another option.
Is he a freshman?
Yeah, pretty sure you're both freshmen.
Okay, gotcha. So that's not ideal, obviously, freshmen. But
Jared Harris may be better.
Could.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming. Duke it out.
I'm kind of with Jared Harris. I think he might be.
But it's certainly, again, I don't know how many options you're going to have. Again, if Dan Hurley leaves for L.A., you have more, potentially, at least.
You believe this is happening? Dan Hurley to L.A.
I guess.
Are they going to give him another raise? He's going back to UConn. He got his last raise last year, right?
Yeah, I don't think it would be a money thing for UConn at this point. I think he's probably going to talk himself into going, because it's like, I have to do this for myself. I have to go try to do it at the NBA level with the Los Angeles Lakers. And, again, would I do it? No. I would not do it. I would like to be the King of College Basketball. I mean, Coach K turned down the Lakers.
You can go back, though, bro.
You can.
If I told you that, you wouldn't do it, and then I tell you.
Right, there's really not
John,
that much
you
risk.
Can go back pick your school.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you'll still come back as a king in terms of college basketball.
It's true. I mean, and you.
And I'd say, come on to L.A.,
buddy.
You have
a job the next day.
Yeah, I'd say, your wife's going to love it out here. She'll be on the beach all the time.
But Coach K turned down $8 million a year in 2004 to coach the Lakers, and Kobe Bryant in 2004.
Well, I mean, it's Krzyzewskiville.
Right,
the whole place is now.
It is now, yeah. He could have had that in stores, but maybe he just doesn't want to live in stores anymore.
Are you saying Krzyzewskiville was built after?
I think so.
Maybe they told him.
I think that was like part of the thing. He cemented his immortality after he turned down $8 million a year from the Lakers in 2004. Which
wow, 2004.
With using Biden inflation, that would be like $500 million a year today.
Man, you are Biden inflation. You get that from Trump?
Yeah.
Real clever.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a interesting day in college basketball. We'll see if anything materializes with Dan Hurley. We'll talk to Drew Hill about this next, get his thoughts on the draft. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
NBA Finals are here finally, and FanDuel's giving you the chance to win alongside the champions, because right now, listen up, new customers, you get $200, not $150, you get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. So they've upped the ante here. That's $200 to use on same-game parlays, live bets. Maybe you want to fade Brad Carson. Listen closely. Second hour, he'll have his picks plus bonus we hear. No better place to bet all the finals action than on America's number one sports book. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Take a shot at an extra $200 that you can spread out. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. That's the promo code, with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Buckle up for a ride through the sports universe on 92.9 FM ESPN. Fueled by the same passion and innovation as Elon Musk.
This is definitely a stack check on that front.
Always free on the Odyssey app.
So, yeah, I think we need to be as rigorous about
exact merit as possible.
Catch all the Tiger touchdowns, Grizzlies dunks, and more hoops. We're the engine behind Elon Musk's next big idea. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports supercomputer.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's been busting it here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins us every Thursday. He joins now. What's up, man?
What's up? How are you, John? Welcome back.
Good to be back, man. And just as I get back, it feels like Dan Hurley is going. Dan Hurley in the mix with the Los Angeles Lakers. What a smokescreen that they seem to have masterfully planted here. Fooled everybody, us included. Everybody seemed to have been along for the ride. And now Dan Hurley seems to be, if there were a betting market for such things, the favorite to leave UConn for the Los Angeles Lakers. What do you make of his decision here? Is it obvious to you what the right thing to do is for Dan Hurley?
I don't think it's necessarily obvious because you don't know Dan Hurley's intentions, right? Some guys just have that NBA itch. Billy Donovan had that itch. Rick Pitino had that itch. John Calipari had that itch. They all, at one point, went to the NBA. And I think Dan Hurley could always come back to college basketball, and he recognizes that. He's been so successful. He took over a program like UConn. And, I mean, not like UConn was hurting, but he built them into a national power that everybody sort of recognizes in a different way when you win back-to-back championships. So I don't know if he's stepping into the best situation. I don't know if being the coach of the LeBron James Lakers and all the pressures that come with that are obviously going to be a lot different than what he's got at UConn, where he's highly beloved and has it rolling. But if he needs to scratch that itch, that's really important to him. I don't know, man. You may never get the chance to. In fact, one could infer he will definitely never get the chance to coach LeBron James again if he were to turn down a job like this. So it's interesting to me. Dan Hurley's guys always really like him, so I don't necessarily think he would be the type that would get run out right away. But it is the Lakers, so that could certainly happen. It's interesting.
Just in your eyes, Drew, is it smart of the Lakers? You know, of those guys that you mentioned, who did it work out for? In terms of Billy Donovan, you know, to be determined, hadn't been great so far. I'm a Bulls fan. You can speak to that, certainly. Pitino, what's it be on conference semifinals? I'm looking right now, best he got. And then Cal. You know, is this a smart move by the Lakers in terms of their future?
It worked with Brad Stevens.
That's true.
That's who it did work for. And if you want to view what Dan Hurley did at UConn in a similar light to Brad Stevens, be my guest. I think Dan definitely had a little bit more talent than Brad Stevens was able to have at his fingertips there at Butler. But I think it's a good hire. I think it would be a good hire because you're bringing in, I mean, it's hard because you're comparing it to J.J. Redick. And I'm certainly not intending to insult J.J. Redick's basketball intelligence. The guy's clearly really, really smart at the game. But he has that built-in friendship with LeBron, and you just wonder if that's healthy in a business relationship, right? It's supposed to be a business relationship between the coach and players. You want to like each other, and obviously that helps. But business has to come first. Winning has to come first. And I do think that Dan Hurley would bring that level of intensity and would bring sort of a different feel. So it certainly feels like, in my eyes, a good hire if you're the Lakers to bring in a coach that clearly knows what he's doing, was running offensive sets that were being applauded by just about every basketball mind across the internet during the NCAA tournament. If that's what the Lakers and, more importantly, LeBron James and his agency view as the future of basketball and the guy that can help them get over the hump, then, you know, I don't necessarily think that it would be a bad hire. I think it'd be a pretty good hire.
Yeah, and the thing that does kind of, this is sort of separate of the discussion, but the thing that kills me is I put on Twitter, I sort of asked a rhetorical question, why give up being the king of college basketball, you know, when you know, you're going to get this version of the Lakers, and all the Memphis fans who follow me in my mentions were like, money! When last week, you know, they were like, you gotta go, David! You don't have to, you don't make the decision about money! You just go! It's like, you guys just have no idea how stupid you sound right now. But again, I maintain the same stance as it relates to David Jones. that I hear, which is, I mean, if they double your salary, they triple your salary, like, this is not even a choice, bro. Like, we're not even – and Jason, you're right. It was last year. He has not gotten the new deal yet. So, I mean, what's the best UConn's going to be able to do? I mean, $7 million a year, and that's a cash-strapped university. They're poor. They're in big trouble. You know, so I don't know what whatever the best they can do is. L.A. is like, if they really want Dan, there's no end. Like, they'll pay a dude $15 million a year.
If it's a money thing, then this is over. You know, it's interesting, too, because, like, you know, if it was a money thing, Kentucky could have paid him more money to
leave.
That's
true. That's true.
But they said his wife wasn't going to want to go to Kentucky, that she's a Northeast person. She didn't want to leave. Well, I mean, L.A. And Lexington aren't exactly the same place, if we're being honest. That's somebody that was born in Lexington speaking right now. Even I can acknowledge that. So if this is a money thing, I mean, I think it's over. And you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, a lot of the BS that a lot of coaches are sick of having to deal with the transfer portal and NIL and all that. And just the way that you recruit now is so different than the way it would have been before. Danny Hurley obviously has had no troubles at getting good players, but it is a changing game, and it'll probably continue to change as it continues to go along. So if this is about money, yeah, Danny Hurley, he's going to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. It's just crazy to think about. I mean, this morning, that was, like, not the headline I expected to wake up to at all. You know, I thought we were going to be on here talking about J.J. Redick and whether or not it's a good idea to hire one of LeBron's friends to coach the team. So, I mean, that would be quite the change in direction, and I think it would be a good change in direction.
Who becomes the king of college basketball if Hurley leaves for the Lakers? Is it your boy, Nate Oates?
Oh, man. I mean, I can't say that because Alabama hasn't done anything yet. They made a Final Four, but, you know.
Well, look at what else is out there. Yeah, I mean, in terms of things that you would depend, guys that you could depend on that are going to be consistent in college basketball right at the top, who else is on the list? I mean, Nate obviously goes up a peg.
I'm trying to think here.
A bunch of them got out. I mean, Jay,
yeah,
Tay, Roy, they all got out.
It's pretty wide open.
I guess Bill's still, right? We'd still have Bill up there.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
Bill Self. Well, yeah.
I'm going to give it to
You're
Bill.
You're going to have Bill up there.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
It would be Bill Self. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, who's always just sort of, I mean, Cal again, bro. I mean, we can't just, like.
No, you're right.
Cal's
no,
in there.
Cal is not, it's not the same as it once was.
Oh, it will
John,
be.
I've heard you a lot, you know.
I'm bullish.
Talking about Kentucky being terrible, and I do think that they probably won't be good. I agree, but, man, we're certain that Arkansas is going to be good. I mean, I feel like we've seen this over and over and over again at Kentucky where he's got the best players. The guy had Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard coming off the bench, John.
Yeah, no, look, it was
drafted.
He got fat and happy, okay? He got complacent. He just knew he was going to be good there no matter what. And now, I mean, we can't just forget the first 5 years of the Cal tenure, okay? Like, the dude was unbelievable, getting the Final Fours all the time, winning titles. You know, this is his last hurrah. He's motivated to stick it up Kentucky's ass, and he's going to. I've never felt more confident about anything in my life in college basketball than Cal and Arkansas being freaking awesome for the next 3 to 4 years. Now he's like, I'm going to go to the transfer portal. I'll get my older guys. Bro, he's going to wipe the floor with Mark Pope. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're sitting here crossing their fingers, taking their vitamins and playing.
I believe that.
Please, yeah. Please let this mediocre BYU big man come back. I mean, that's embarrassing. They should get pick yourself up off the floor and wipe your face. You look ridiculous. I do enjoy it.
I don't disagree with that. Like, I do think this isn't a question. We're not going to debate Mark Pope versus John Calipari. It's just not even close, right? I would agree with that. I don't know. It felt like his stay was done at Kentucky, and for them to move on now, they didn't land the guy that they wanted, but it was still time to move on.
I mean, that's definitely true. Right. I mean, it is at Kentucky, I agree. You know what I mean? Like, everything eventually sort of does run its course. But I still think there's a little fire in that belly. And that's maybe where some people would disagree with me. But, you know, I would have liked it better if Coleman Hawkins was there. You know what I mean? I do think there are certainly some holes in the roster. But I'm excited about this. I mean, I think this college basketball season, especially now you got Dan Hurley, you know, gone. What's going to happen to UConn? I think it sets up a super fascinating year in college basketball. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm. You know, you brought up Nate Oates to start this. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the NBA calls on Nate Oates if he continues to have this level of success, just given the style that he plays and how that fits the NBA game, or at least a version of the NBA game, the version that the Warriors played, the Rockets played when they had James Harden. You know, that style of basketball is the style of basketball that Nate Oates plays, and he's been really successful with it. It wouldn't shock me at all if an NBA team started coming for a guy like Nate Oates here soon as well. So we'll see. I mean, I think Alabama's got a good shot this year. I feel pretty good about them. Obviously, the roster is completely loaded. They have more guys than they can even play, so that'll be interesting to see if he can keep the team together. But, yeah, it should be a fun year of college basketball. I would agree.
You got a finals prediction for us, Drew, a winner in number of games?
I went Celtics in six.
Okay.
I just think that Boston is a better team, and I think Boston, you know, I'm a little gun shy here because I thought Minnesota was going to have a number of different bodies that they could throw at Dallas.
Me too.
And I've kind of doubted Dallas the whole way. And I thought that, you know, that was going to help them win that series before it started. Obviously, that became evident that Luka was just going to be way better than anybody else on the court the minute that it started. I just think that Boston is so deep. They have so many solid players, and to have guys like Derek White and Al Horford, even at this age, guys still killing it, they just have too much that they can throw at Dallas. And I think in the end, that's going to be the difference for Boston, and Boston is going to win the series. Although, I will say, if Luka is superhuman Luka, I do think that Dallas is going to win a couple of games, so that's why I have to go six. I'm close to going all the way to seven, but I do think that the Celtics are the better team. Have you guys given any picks yet? What's Brad's pick? I don't want to be on the same side as Brad.
Well, he'll be giving his picks a little bit later in the show. He's
second hour.
He is
1 hour. 1 hour is our tease.
We don't want to influence him.
He's in a hyperbaric chamber right now. We've got him completely removed from the rest of society because we don't want to influence, right? I mean, it's just such a...
Well, I do. Brad, pick the Mavs because I don't want to be wrong.
Oh, you've already bet.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
You can't bet NBA. Sorry.
Well, the public has sided with the Mavs on this deal, by the way. That is where the money is going in on.
I will say,
that makes me feel better about the Celtics.
You got to be a little careful with that, only because you're basically asking these sports books to be honest, right? And they don't have, there's nothing.
Of course not. They're gambling. You know, they want your money.
All they're trying to do is just get you to bet.
Yeah.
In the end, they're
just trying to
get you to, you know, they're trying to generate bets.
Absolutely.
You know, if you Google it, you'll find that, you know, 90% of the public was on the Mavericks in game five against the Timberwolves. And that didn't matter, right? So it's like, I would just tell you, just if you're betting based on those splits, stop doing that, okay? Like, it's just not relevant because you don't know what numbers or what, you just don't know. You don't have the information. They have the information, and they're only giving you what they want you to have, period, point blank, to generate bets. So
I can tell you, though, John, on a series price, let's just be honest, on a series price, if you're asking somebody, the general public, casual bettor,
yes,
are you taking the Mavericks? I don't even know what the odds are, but like, let's say they're plus 190. Is that what they are? Plus 190.
Oh, they're all taking the Mavs. 100%. I agree with you. But
no one's taking minus 220.
Agreed.
People are betting $20.
Agreed. 100%. But I'm not even taking. I see no reason for me to lay minus 210, minus two, whatever it is in this series. I just see no reason to do it. I'm not taking the Mavs on the series, and I'm not taking the Celtics on the series. I'm going to really play this game by game. But you're 100% right, and I would counter by saying that how many people were betting the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl? Not that many, right? I mean, everybody was taking Mahomes at plus chicken. Everybody was like, "How do you give Mahomes plus chicken? How do you get?" And guess what? He won the damn Super Bowl, down 10-0. Didn't matter. They just they got it done. So that's what gives me hesitation a little bit is when you start talking about the individual singular greatness of one player, which is I think what we're seeing with Luka. That's the only pause I have in the series. And you're right; it may just be a two game thing. Like it may earn them two wins, but there is Kyrie and there is a coach I think who has made big time strides in Jason Kidd. So
I don't know. I think it will be a back-and-forth series. I do feel confident in that. This will not be some drubbing by the Celtics, although the market always thinks it will be.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. And I would agree with you. I do think that you can't always pay attention to that stuff. But, I mean, like, so if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to bet on the Celtics, I think your better avenue would be to bet on the Celtics to, like, win game one.
Yes.
And then win the series. Or
exactly.
Pick somebody to win the MVP, whether that, or just spread it out on Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because obviously one of those two guys would win.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, you're
to
not going to have a lot of people.
This is the way I would go. Like, this is the way I would play if I like the Mavericks in the series, I'm playing them money line tonight. +205, +210. Because if they win this series, it's probably going to have to come with a 1-0 lead. That's just kind of how I feel about it, right? Like, I guess they could win game two and then go back to Dallas, but I kind of feel like in order for you to win this series, you got to punch them first. So I would do that. I would play it that way. Or if I'm going to play the Celtics, it would be game one in series. That's the way I would do it. And you're going to get a little cheaper price there. I don't know what that would be. Maybe like -135 or something. But again, I'm not really running to do that with this Boston team either, man. I mean, they're you know, schizophrenic sometimes. And they're so reliant on the damn three-pointer. That's the other problem. That scares me a little bit with them. But it sets up what should be a hell of a series, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't have a pick. I'm skimping out. So I'll take the rest of the day to figure that out, Drew. I apologize.
No worries. Yeah, I think Boston's good to give one up at least. I mean, they have in every series so far.
Yep.
They fall asleep at the wheel a couple of times. So it'll hopefully be a close series, but I do think ultimately Boston will get it done.
Drew, real quick, a question that John asked me earlier in the week, and because I think Sam Vecenie over at The Athletic had same guy mocked at 9 for the Grizzlies, Rob Dillingham. Just your thoughts on, you know, the potential fit if the Grizzlies decide to keep the pick and stay at 9 that a Rob Dillingham you mentioned him earlier, out of Kentucky would be.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned this because I just finished writing a newsletter. We got nothing going on right now, like literally nothing in the world of Grizzlies. So we're just trying to scrape for newsletters, to be honest with you. But I rounded up all the mock drafts and just, you know, looked at who they were taking, saw that Sam had Dillingham at number 9. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
I'm with you.
Not that I don't think Rob's a great player. I do. I think Rob has the chance, at least, to be a really dynamic scorer in the league. And you want to add good players. And if you view him as a good player, then I think you could certainly justify using a draft pick on him. But the Grizzlies are in this stage where they're trying to win, and they're trying to win now. And there's just too much overlap with Ja there in the current backcourt. I don't know if it benefits you to add another dynamic scoring guard who's a little bit undersized on defense and may not bring as much to the table on that end of the floor. You know, I would rather add a dynamic scorer on the wing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Dalton Connect would be a better pro, but I do think Dalton Connect would at least be a better fit for Memphis if you're trying to go out and add a scorer like that. So I think Sam even acknowledged in that piece, this doesn't really make a ton of sense, but I just don't see anybody that would really fit the Grizzlies that well at this point in the draft based on who he had already picked. And so for that reason, he even speculated that Memphis could trade. And I think there's still a good possibility that Memphis can trade. I mean, there's been whispers from the very beginning, from the moment they got that number 9 pick, that could happen. And it certainly makes a ton of sense. I mean, we saw him do it with Bane. We saw him do it with Zaire, Brandon Clark, Jake LaRavia, Santi Aldama. I mean, there's a huge long line of history of Zach Kleiman trading up or trading in general in drafts. So will the Grizzlies pick at number 9? I am definitely not sure about that. We will see what happens. I think this trade in particular is much more likely. I'm not saying it would have to be on draft day, but it's much more likely to happen on draft day, just given the nature of these prospects and the fact that nobody really has any idea where anyone's going. So it should be a fun draft night. We might get some real drama.
And then real quick, just to school me in real fast, and zero history of dropping back. I think I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's Giannotto, somebody else. It might have been you. But is it Zach's never dropped back, right?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, right. He's traded back up into
back
the
up in, which is up, right.
Yeah.
But never dropped back like we've kind of, you know, with an Edie scenario if you wanted him later. He's never actually done that, right? Slid back to get a guy and gotten a guy.
Not that I can remember off the top of my head. I mean, I could be wrong about this, so I don't want to pretend to be 100%. Not that I can remember. I still don't rule that out, though.
Like, sure. Right. This might be the situation.
Movement, sure. Either way. Yeah, so I definitely don't put that past Zach. I mean, we've seen how creative he's kind of gotten mm-hmm. with maximizing on the margins as much as possible. And if that's still the goal and if that's still what he wants to do, then I think moving back is certainly in the realm of possibility for the Grizzlies, especially if they sort of recognize that one of the guys that they really like isn't one of those top 10 guys. I mean, you know, you have Kevin O'Connor now mocking Khalil Ware to the Grizzlies, who is an interesting prospect. It would not be sort of your traditional power big, more of a finesse big, has questions about the shooting, shot 43% from three, but 63% from the free throw line. So can't really tell, you know, that suggests that maybe the shooting numbers from three were maybe a little bit better than they should have been. There's all sorts of very interesting prospects, but like if that's a guy that indeed interests you, I don't think you have to get him at 9. You could probably get him in the late lottery or maybe even closer to 20. So we'll see what happens, and I'm looking forward to these next few weeks.
Should be fun, Drew. Appreciate the time,
thank
as
you,
always,
brother.
Man. Thanks.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Yeah, in terms of this, you know, and we'll get Brad's opinion, which honestly is the transcendent opinion. That's what everybody wants to hear right now on this series. You know, if you've held me down and you forced me to pick a side tonight, I would have to take the Dallas Mavericks and the points. If you held me down. Now, is that a confident opinion? Is that something that I really love? Not really. But that would just be my... And I'm again, I have no bets. I have no bets on this series. I have no bets on this game. And maybe the under.
Yeah, I mean, you're potentially swaying the goose here, bro.
Oh, I don't think I'm swaying the goose at all. NBA betting has been so bad that, like, I don't even know what's up from down, bro. I have lost untold amounts of money on the NBA this year. So if I like the Dallas Mavericks, you should probably like the Boston Celtics. But just in terms of, you know, this entire thing, what I can't sort of get out of my head is just the Celtics historically, when they come up against these teams that compete possession to possession, have the dogs to go with them. It's very think about those Miami series, right? Mm-hmm. That's like what I have a hard time. Like the Dallas Mavericks have a little bit of heat in them. You know, in that you got Jimmy out there, you got Luka out there, you got Bam out there, you got the bigs out there with Dallas, you got Kyrie out there. And that's what Miami never had, right? They didn't have that consistent second scorer. And they're constructed a little differently, but Miami was defense first. Believe it or not, Dallas is really defensive-oriented too, even though Luka and Kyrie are out there a lot. So that's the part that I just have a hard time getting past. And then, of course, all the public stuff. I mean, I don't really care about that. Public wins a lot, 47% to 48% of the time. So that's something to keep in mind. But I do think it will. The market and sharp bettors that I know have been all Boston all year long. They just think Boston is just this impenetrable force that nobody can beat in a 7-game series. And I maintain, like, these dudes have not been tested. They should have lost 2 games against the Pacers without Haliburton. Imagine what happens when they get a finally healthy, hot, rolling Mavericks team.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of – that would be my talking points.
Only 6 teams have gone from not making the playoffs to winning a finals.
And that would be what Dallas would be doing.
Correct.
Who was the last?
Golden State.
Oh, when they beat the Celtics in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Boston's the team that's been preparing for this, been at this level.
And that almost doesn't count, though, because that Golden State team won, you know –
Oh, you're saying Golden State doesn't count.
Yeah, that team won so many titles before. It's not like they're like
And there's a story at The Athletic about this, but the thing that was about all 6 teams previously, and it would be about Dallas if they win this too, was the superstar. In all of the examples, there has been a, you know, face of the league type guy on those teams, obviously with Steph with the Warriors.
Yes.
So Dallas has got that with Luka Doncic, definitely, but history is on the Celtics side and firmly on the Celtics side.
Yep. Anyway, should be a fun time. Should be a fun night in the association. We finally are here.
Finally.
Man, it's been a when was game five? Friday, right?
Thursday? Friday?
Was it really Thursday?
Yeah, it feels like it's Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Could
it was
be
Thursday
wrong.
Night.
Could be wrong.
It was Thursday night, yeah. It was our first night in Chicago, now that I think of it.
You're right. It feels like it's been 2 weeks, though.
My God, man. You can't have that happen again because it's like you've lost all steam. I mean, to me, I mean, you can get it back if you have a great game one, but you just kind of get another. And I think there's three games in between games.
Well, it got upstaged by WNBA. And then, you know, today we're talking Lakers. But this pause has not been good in terms of attention on this series.
Yeah, so game two is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Game three is Wednesday. Then game four is Friday. So then you get a two-day break there. But then game five's not till Monday. I mean, I just, you know, why are we not? Why can we not do 2 days apart?
Stretch it out.
I get it, but damn, we're in the finals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this show on the road.
No, they will get to it when they're ready.
They're going to make us watch WNBA.
Dude, we're doing 2 days of draft. They're trying to be NFL. Yeah. They can be, but they're trying to be. They're trying to be, every day of the week. Every day of the year.
I saw one NFL guy. He thought
nobody's going to watch on Christmas anymore.
He thought the NBA was getting $75 billion a year. He was like, this makes the NFL a discount, isn't it?
Man, please.
He was Andrew Brandt. Like, he's like, NBA getting $75 billion.
Well, have bad days.
Like, Andrew, with all due respect, bro, you got to get your head out of your ass, all right? They're not getting $75 billion a year. They're just not. I mean, that's absurd. That would put the NFL's valuation at, like, $1 trillion.
Computer.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's been busting it here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins us every Thursday. He joins now. What's up, man?
What's up? How are you, John? Welcome back.
Good to be back, man. And just as I get back, it feels like Dan Hurley is going. Dan Hurley in the mix with the Los Angeles Lakers. What a smokescreen that they seem to have masterfully planted here. Fooled everybody, us included. Everybody seemed to have been along for the ride. And now Dan Hurley seems to be, if there were a betting market for such things, the favorite to leave UConn for the Los Angeles Lakers. What do you make of his decision here? Is it obvious to you what the right thing to do is for Dan Hurley?
I don't think it's necessarily obvious because you don't know Dan Hurley's intentions, right? Some guys just have that NBA itch. Billy Donovan had that itch. Rick Pitino had that itch. John Calipari had that itch. They all, at one point, went to the NBA. And I think Dan Hurley could always come back to college basketball, and he recognizes that. He's been so successful. He took over a program like UConn. And, I mean, not like UConn was hurting, but he built them into a national power that everybody sort of recognizes in a different way when you win back-to-back championships. So I don't know if he's stepping into the best situation. I don't know if being the coach of the LeBron James Lakers and all the pressures that come with that are obviously going to be a lot different than what he's got at UConn, where he's highly beloved and has it rolling. But if he needs to scratch that itch, if that's really important to him, I don't know, man. You may never get the chance to – in fact, one could infer – he will definitely never get the chance to coach LeBron James again if he were to turn down a job like this. So it's interesting to me. Dan Hurley's guys always really like him, so I don't necessarily think he would be the type that would get run out right away. But it is the Lakers, so that could certainly happen. It's interesting.
Just in your eyes, Drew, is it smart of the Lakers? You know, of those guys that you mentioned, who did it work out for? In terms of Billy Donovan, you know, to be determined, hadn't been great so far. I'm a Bulls fan. You can speak to that, certainly. Pitino, what's it be on conference semifinals? I'm looking right now, best he got. And then Cal. You know, is this a smart move by the Lakers in terms of their future?
It worked with Brad Stevens. That's who it did work for. And if you want to view what Dan Hurley did at UConn in a similar light to Brad Stevens, be my guest. I think Dan definitely had a little bit more talent than Brad Stevens was able to have at his fingertips there at Butler. But I think it's a good hire. I think it would be a good hire because you're bringing in, I mean, it's hard because you're comparing it to J.J. Redick. And I'm certainly not intending to insult J.J. Redick's basketball intelligence. The guy's clearly really, really smart at the game. But he has that built-in friendship with LeBron, and you just wonder if that's healthy in a business relationship, right? It's supposed to be a business relationship between the coach and players. You want to like each other, and obviously that helps. But business has to come first. Winning has to come first. And I do think that Dan Hurley would bring that level of intensity and would bring sort of a different feel. So it certainly feels like, in my eyes, a good hire if you're the Lakers, to bring in a coach that clearly knows what he's doing, was running offensive sets that were being applauded by just about every basketball mind across the internet during the NCAA tournament. If that's what the Lakers and, more importantly, LeBron James and his agency view as the future of basketball and the guy that can help them get over the hump, then, you know, I don't necessarily think that it would be a bad hire. I think it'd be a pretty good hire.
Yeah, and the thing that does kind of, this is sort of separate of the discussion, but the thing that kills me is I put on Twitter, I sort of asked the rhetorical question, why give up being the king of college basketball, you know, when you know, you're going to get this version of the Lakers, and all the Memphis fans who follow me in my mentions were like, money! When last week, you know, they were like, you got to go, David. You don't have to, you don't make the decision about money. You just go. It's like, you guys just have no idea how stupid you sound right now. But again, I maintain the same stance as it relates to David Jones that I hear, which is, I mean, if they double your salary, they triple your salary, like, this is not even a choice, bro. Like, we're not even, and Jason, you're right. It was last year. He has not gotten the new deal yet. So, I mean, what's the best UConn's going to be able to do? I mean, $7 million a year, and that's a cash-strapped university. They're poor. They're in big trouble. You know, so I don't know whatever the best they can do is. L.A. is, like, if they really want Dan, there's no end. Like, they'll pay a dude $15 million a year.
If it's a money thing, then this is over. You know, it's interesting, too, because, like, you know, if it was a money thing, Kentucky could have paid him more money to
leave.
That's
true. That's true.
But they said his wife wasn't going to want to go to Kentucky, that she's a Northeast person. She didn't want to leave. Well, I mean, L.A. And Lexington aren't exactly the same place, if we're being honest. That's somebody that was born in Lexington speaking right now. Even I can acknowledge that. So if this is a money thing, I mean, I think it's over. And you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, a lot of the BS that a lot of coaches are sick of having to deal with the transfer portal and NIL and all that, and just the way that you recruit now is so different than the way it would have been before. Danny Hurley obviously has had no troubles at getting good players, but it is a changing game, and it'll probably continue to change as it continues to go along. So if this is about money, yeah, Danny Hurley, he's going to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. It's just crazy to think about. I mean, this morning, that was, like, not the headline I expected to wake up to at all. You know, I thought we were going to be on here talking about J.J. Redick and whether or not it's a good idea to hire one of LeBron's friends to coach the team. So, I mean, that would be quite the change in direction, and I think it would be a good change in direction.
Who becomes the king of college basketball if Hurley leaves for the Lakers? Is it your boy, Nate Oates?
Oh, man. I mean, I can't say that because Alabama hasn't done anything yet. They made a Final Four, but, you know.
Well, look at what else is out there. Yeah, I mean, in terms of things that you would depend, guys that you could depend on that are going to be consistent in college basketball right at the top, who else is on the list? I mean, Nate obviously goes up a peg.
I'm trying to think here.
A bunch of them got out. I mean, Jay,
yeah,
Kay, Roy, they all got out.
It's pretty wide open.
I guess Bill's still, right? We'd still have Bill up there.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
Bill Self. Well, yeah.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
You're going to have Bill up there.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
It would be Bill Self. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, who's always just sort of, I mean, Cal again, bro. I mean, we can't just, like.
No, you're right.
Cal's
no,
in there.
Cal is not, it's not the same as it once was.
Oh, it will
John,
be.
John, I've heard you
it
a lot. Be. I've heard you a lot, you know.
I'm bullish.
Talking about Kentucky being terrible, and I do think that they probably won't be good. I agree, but. Man, we're certain that Arkansas is going to be good. I mean, I feel like we've seen this over and over and over again at Kentucky where he's got the best players. The guy had Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard coming off the bench, John.
Yeah, no, look, it was
drafted.
He got fat and happy, okay? He got complacent. He just knew he was going to be good there no matter what. And now, I mean, we can't just forget the first 5 years of the Cal tenure, okay? Like, the dude was unbelievable, getting to Final Fours all the time, win titles. you know, he's this is his last hurrah. He's motivated to stick it up Kentucky's ass, and he's going to. I've never felt more confident about anything in my life in college basketball than Cal and Arkansas being freaking awesome for the next 3 to 4 years. Now he's like, I'm going to go to the transfer portal. I'll get my older guys. Bro, he's going to wipe the floor with Mark Pope. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're sitting here crossing their fingers, taking their vitamins and playing.
Oh, I believe that.
Please, please let this mediocre BYU big man come back. I mean, that's embarrassing. They should get. I mean, pick yourself up off the floor and wipe your face. You look ridiculous. I do enjoy it.
I don't disagree with that. Like, I do think this isn't a question. We're not going to debate Mark Pope versus John Calipari. It's just not even close, right? I would agree with that. I don't know. It felt like his stay was done at Kentucky, and for them to move on now, they didn't land the guy that they wanted, but it was still time to move on.
I mean, that's definitely true. Right. I mean, it is, at Kentucky, I agree. You know what I mean? Like, everything eventually sort of does run its course, but I still think there's a little fire in that belly. And that's maybe where some people would disagree with me. But, you know, I would have liked it better if Coleman Hawkins was there. You know what I mean? I mean, I do think there are certainly some holes in the roster, but I'm excited about this. I mean, I think this college basketball season, especially now you got Dan Hurley, you know, gone. What's going to happen to UConn? I think it sets up a super fascinating year in college basketball. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you brought up Nate Oates to start this. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the NBA calls on Nate Oates if he continues to have this level of success, just given the style that he plays and how that fits the NBA game, or at least a version of the NBA game, the version that the Warriors played, the Rockets played when they had James Harden. You know, that style of basketball is the style of basketball that Nate Oates plays, and he's been really successful with it. But it wouldn't shock me at all if an NBA team started coming for a guy like Nate Oates here soon as well. So we'll see. I mean, I think Alabama's got a good shot this year. I feel pretty good about them. Obviously, the roster is completely loaded. They have more guys than they can even play, so that'll be interesting to see if he can keep the team together. But, it should be a fun year of college basketball. I would agree.
You got a finals prediction for us, Drew? A winner in number of games?
I went Celtics in six.
Okay.
I just think that Boston is a better team, and I think Boston, you know, I'm a little gun-shy here because I thought Minnesota was going to have a number of different bodies that they could throw at Dallas.
Me too.
And I've kind of doubted Dallas the whole way, and I thought that, you know, that was going to help them win that series before it started. Obviously, that became evident that Luka was just going to be way better than anybody else on the court the minute that it started. I just think that Boston is so deep. They have so many solid players. And to have guys like Derek White and Al Horford, even at this age, guys still killing it, they just have too much that they can throw at Dallas. And I think in the end, that's going to be the difference for Boston, and Boston is going to win the series. Although, I will say, if Luka is superhuman Luka, I do think that Dallas is going to win a couple of games, so that's why I have to go six. I'm close to going all the way to seven, but I do think that the Celtics are the better team. Have you guys given any picks yet? What's Brad's pick? I don't want to be on the same side as Brad.
Well, he'll be giving his picks.
We'll text it to you
a little bit later in the show. He's
second hour.
He is
1 hour. 1 hour is our tease.
We don't want to influence him.
He's in a hyperbaric chamber right now. We've got him completely removed from the rest of society because we don't want to influence, right? I mean, it's just such a...
Well, I do. Brad, pick the Mavs because I don't want to be wrong.
Oh, you've already bet.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
You can't bet NBA. Sorry.
Well, the public has sided with the Mavs on this deal, by the way. That is where the money is going in on.
I will say,
great,
like,
that makes me feel better about the Celtics.
You got to be a little careful with that, only because you're basically asking these sports books to be honest, right? And they don't have, there's nothing.
Of course not. They're gambling. You know, they want your money.
All they're trying to do is just get you to bet.
Yeah.
In the end, they're
it's
just
very
trying
simple.
To get you to, you know,
yeah.
They're trying to generate bets.
Absolutely.
You know, if you Google it, you'll find that, you know, 90% of the public was on the Mavericks in game five against the Timberwolves. And that didn't matter, right? So it's like, I would just tell you, just if you're betting based on those splits, stop doing that, okay? Like, it's just not relevant because you don't know what numbers or what, you just don't know. You don't have the information. They have the information, and they're only giving you what they want you to have. period, point blank, to generate bets. So
I can tell you, though, John, on a series price, let's just be honest, on a series price, if you're asking somebody, the general public, your casual bettor,
yes,
are you taking the Mavericks? I don't even know what the odds are, but like, let's say they're plus 190. Is that what they are, plus 190?
Oh, they're all taking the Mavs, 100%. I agree with you. But
no one's taking minus 220.
Agreed.
People are betting $20.
Only agreed 100%. But I'm not even taking. I see no reason for me to lay minus 210, minus two, whatever it is in this series. I just see no reason to do it. I'm not taking the Mavs on the series, and I'm not taking the Celtics on the series. I'm going to really play this game by game. But you're 100% right, and I would counter by saying that how many people were betting the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl? Not that many, right? I mean, everybody was taking Mahomes at plus chicken. Everybody was like, "How do you give Mahomes plus chicken? How do you get?" And guess what? He won the damn Super Bowl, down 10-0. Didn't matter. They just they got it done. So that's what gives me hesitation a little bit, is when you start talking about the individual singular greatness of one player, which is, I think, what we're seeing with Luka. That's the only pause I have in the series. And you're right, it may just be a two-game thing. Like, it may earn them two wins. But there is Kyrie, and there is a coach, I think, who has made big-time strides in Jason Kidd. So I don't know. I think it will be a back-and-forth series. I do feel confident in that. This will not be some drubbing by the Celtics, although the market always thinks it will be.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. And I would agree with you. I do think that you can't always pay attention to that stuff. But, I mean, like, so if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to bet on the Celtics, I think your better avenue would be to bet on the Celtics to, like, win game one,
yes,
and then win the series, or
exactly.
Pick somebody to win the MVP, whether that, or just spread it out on Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because obviously one of those two guys would win.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, you're
to
not
me,
gonna have a lot of
this is
money.
This is the way I would go. Like, this is the way I would play the if I like the Mavericks in the series, I'm playing them money line tonight. Plus 205, plus 210. Because if they win this series, it's probably going to have to come with a 1-0 lead. That's just kind of how I feel about it, right? Like, I guess they could win game two and then go back to Dallas, but I kind of feel like in order for you to win this series, you got to punch them first. So I would do that. I would play it that way. Or if I'm going to play the Celtics, it would be game one in series. That's the way I would do it. And you're going to get a little cheaper price there. I don't know what that would be. Maybe like minus 135 or something. But again, I'm not really running to do that with this Boston team either, man. I mean, they're schizophrenic sometimes, and they're so reliant on the damn three pointer. That's the other problem. That scares me a little bit with them. But it sets up what should be a hell of a series, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't have a pick. I'm skipping out. So I'll take the rest of the day to figure that out, Drew. I apologize.
No worries. Yeah, I think Boston's good to give one up at least. I mean, they have in every series so far.
Yep.
They fall asleep at the wheel a couple of times. So it'll hopefully be a close series, but I do think ultimately Boston will get it done.
Drew, real quick, a question that John asked me earlier in the week, and because I think Sam Vecenie over at The Athletic had same guy mocked at 9 for the Grizzlies, Rob Dillingham. Just your thoughts on, you know, the potential fit if the Grizzlies decide to keep the pick and stay at 9 that a Rob Dillingham you mentioned him earlier, out of Kentucky would be.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned this, because I just finished writing a newsletter. We got nothing going on right now, like literally nothing in the world of Grizzlies. So we're just trying to scrape for newsletters, to be honest with you. But I rounded up all the mock drafts and just, you know, looked at who they were taking, saw that Sam had Dillingham at number 9. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
I'm with you.
Not that I don't think Rob's a great player. I do. I think Rob has the chance, at least, to be a really dynamic scorer in the league. And you want to add good players. And if you view him as a good player, then I think you could certainly justify using a draft pick on him. But the Grizzlies are in this stage where they're trying to win, and they're trying to win now. There's just too much overlap with Ja there in the current backcourt. I don't know if it benefits you to add another dynamic scoring guard who's a little bit undersized on defense and may not bring as much to the table on that end of the floor. You know, I would rather add a dynamic scorer on the wing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Dalton Connect would be a better pro, but I do think Dalton Connect would at least be a better fit for Memphis if you're trying to go out and add a scorer like that. So I think Sam even acknowledged in that piece, this doesn't really make a ton of sense, but I just don't see anybody that would really fit the Grizzlies that well at this point in the draft based on who he had already picked. And so for that reason, he even speculated that Memphis could trade. And I think there's still a good possibility that Memphis can trade. I mean, there's been whispers from the very beginning, from the moment they got that number nine pick, that could happen. And it certainly makes a ton of sense. I mean, we saw him do it with Bane. We saw him do it with Zaire, Brandon Clark, Jake LaRavia, Santi Aldama. I mean, there's a huge, long line of history of Zach Kleiman trading up or trading in general in drafts. So will the Grizzlies pick at number nine? I am definitely not sure about that. We will see what happens. I think this trade in particular is much more likely. I'm not saying it would have to be on draft day, but it's much more likely to happen on draft day, just given the nature of these prospects and the fact that nobody really has any idea where anyone's going. So it should be a fun draft night. We might get some real drama.
And then real quick, just to school me in real fast, and zero history of dropping back. I think I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's Giannotto, somebody. It might have been you. But is it Zach's never dropped back, right?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, right. He's traded back up into the
back up in, which is up, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but never dropped back like we've kind of, you know, with an Edie scenario if you wanted him later. He's never actually done that, right? Slid back to get a guy. And gotten a guy.
Not that I can remember off the top of my head. I mean, I could be wrong about this, so I don't want to pretend to be 100%. Not that I can remember. I still don't rule that out, though.
Like, sure. Right. This might be the situation.
Movement, sure. Either way. Yeah, so I definitely don't put that past Zach. I mean, we've seen how creative he's kind of gotten mm-hmm. with maximizing on the margins as much as possible. And if that's still the goal and if that's still what he wants to do, then I think moving back is certainly in the realm of possibility for the Grizzlies, especially if they sort of recognize that one of the guys that they really like isn't one of those top 10 guys. I mean, you know, you have Kevin O'Connor now mocking Khalil Ware to the Grizzlies, who is an interesting prospect. It would not be sort of your traditional power big, more of a finesse big, has questions about the shooting, shot 43% from three, but 63% from the free throw line. So can't really tell, you know, that suggests that maybe the shooting numbers from three were maybe a little bit better than they should have been. There's all sorts of very interesting prospects, but like if that's a guy that indeed interests you, I don't think you have to get him at nine. You could probably get him in the late lottery or maybe even closer to 20. So we'll see what happens, and I'm looking forward to these next few weeks.
Should be fun, Drew. Appreciate the time.
Thank
as
you,
always,
brother.
Man. Thanks.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Yeah. In terms of this, you know, and we'll get Brad's opinion, which honestly is the transcendent opinion. That's what everybody wants to hear right now on this series. You know, if you held me down and you forced me to pick a side tonight, I would have to take the Dallas Mavericks in the points. If you held me down. Now, is that a confident opinion? Is that something that I really love? Not really. But that would just be my... And I have no bets. I have no bets on this series. I have no bets on this game. And maybe the under.
Yeah, I mean, you're potentially swaying the goose here, bro.
Oh, I don't think I'm swaying the goose at all.
My
NBA betting has been so bad that like I don't even know what's up from down, bro. I have lost untold amounts of money on the NBA this year. So if I like the Dallas Mavericks, you should probably like the Boston Celtics. But just in terms of, you know, this entire thing, what I can't sort of get out of my head is just the Celtics historically, when they come up against these teams that compete possession to possession, have the dogs to go with them. It's very think about those Miami series, right? Mm-hmm. That's like what I have a hard time. Like the Dallas Mavericks have a little bit of heat in them. You know, in that you got Jimmy out there, you got Luka out there, you got Bam out there, you got the bigs out there with Dallas, you got Kyrie out there. And that's what Miami never had, right? They didn't have that consistent second scorer. And they're constructed a little differently, but Miami was defense first. Believe it or not, Dallas is really defensive-oriented too, even though Luka and Kyrie are out there a lot. So that's the part that I just have a hard time getting past. And then, of course, all the public stuff. I mean, I don't really care about that. Public wins a lot, 47-48% of the time. So that's something to keep in mind. But I do think it will. The market and sharp bettors that I know have been all Boston all year long. They just think Boston is just this impenetrable force that nobody can beat in a seven-game series. And I maintain, like, these dudes have not been tested. They should have lost two games against the Pacers without Haliburton. Imagine what happens when they get a finally healthy, hot, rolling Mavericks team.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of – that would be my talking points.
Only six teams have gone from not making the playoffs to winning a finals.
And that would be what Dallas would be doing.
Correct.
Who was the last?
Golden State.
Oh, when they beat the Celtics in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Boston's the team that's been preparing for this, been at this level.
And that almost doesn't count, though, because that Golden State team won, you know, three.
Oh, you're saying Golden State doesn't count.
Yeah, because that team won so many titles before. It's not like they're like new.
And there's a story at The Athletic about this, but the thing that was about all six teams previously, and it would be about Dallas if they win this too, was the superstar. In all of the examples, there has been a, you know, face of the league type guy on those teams. Obviously, with Steph with the Warriors.
Yes.
So Dallas has got that with Luka Doncic, definitely. But history is on the Celtics side and firmly on the Celtics side.
Yep. Anyway, should be a fun time. Should be a fun night in the association. We finally are here.
Finally.
Man, it's been when was game five? Friday, right?
Thursday? Friday?
Was it really Thursday?
Yeah, it feels like it's Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Could
it was Thursday
wrong.
Night.
Could be wrong.
It was Thursday night, yeah. It was our first night in Chicago, now that I think of it.
You're right. It feels like it's been 2 weeks, though.
My God, man. You can't have that happen again because it's like you've lost all steam. I mean, you can get it back if you have a great game one, but you just kind of get – and I think there's three games in between games.
Well, it got upstaged by WNBA, and then, you know, today we're talking Lakers, but this pause has not been good in terms of attention on this series.
Yeah, so game two is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Game three is Wednesday. Then game four is Friday, so then you get a two-day break there. But then game five is not till Monday. I mean, I just, you know, why are we not, why can we not do 2 days apart?
Stretch it out.
I get it, but damn, we're in the finals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this show on the road.
No, they will get to it when they're ready.
They're going to make us watch WNBA.
Dude, we're doing 2 days of draft. They're trying to be NFL. Yeah. They can be, but they're trying to be. They're trying to be, every day of the week. Every day of the year.
I saw one NFL guy. He thought
nobody's going to watch on Christmas anymore.
He thought the NBA was getting $75 billion a year. He was like, this makes the NFL a discount, isn't it?
Oh, man, please.
He was Andrew Brandt. Like, he's like, NBA getting $75 billion.
Well, I have bad days.
Like, Andrew, with all due respect, bro, you got to get your head out of your ass, all right? They're not getting $75 billion a year. They're just not. I mean, that's absurd. That would put the NFL's valuation at, like, $1 trillion.